Hello, my name is Gerard Gibbons. I work with the Frontiers for Ross and member of the European Parliament for Dublin. I firstly want to apologise for the fact that Frontiers won't be here this morning. He's attending the European Parliament plenary session in Strasbourg this week, from Monday to Thursday. It's an emergency vote, an unscheduled vote called at 5 o'clock yesterday evening. The Frontiers had to wait for that, and getting back from Strasbourg to Dublin is very, very difficult. It takes the guts of a day. So he's in Brussels at the moment, and he rang me last night asked me to come along this morning to express his apologies for not being able to be here this morning. If there's any questions that come up later on in the morning, I'll do my best to answer them. Frontiers' speech was, or contribution was on, on issues of the software patents which have been seen in the European Parliament over the last year and a half. I'll just make a couple of very brief points and then allow others to come in. Firstly, the issue was seen as one of the most complex ever put before MEPs. Most of them, I would imagine, or what I would say, didn't have a very clear understanding of the issue at the outset, and I'd say many of them were very, very confused at the end. There was a huge amount of lobbying for both sides of the debate over the previous 18 months. Most of the MEPs, they're not specialists in this field, so they were taking the advice of people, you know, they were doing their best to look at this issue, taking the advice of people like yourselves and others, you know, across the spectrum. In the end, it was decided, or it was agreed, the most sensible way to go forward was not to adopt a software patents directive at this stage and to let it sit for some time. As I said, if there are issues that, specific issues on the campaign that took place, or specific questions that you have, I will do my best to answer them. But again, I just want to apologise for the fact that Frontiers isn't here this morning. Thank you.
Thanks very much, sir. Good morning. My name is Glenn Strong, and I'm the current chairman of IFSO, the Irish Free Software Organisation. I was just asked to say a few words about IFSO, about free software, before we begin, to just set the context for how we have been approaching this. Before I do that, there's just a small number of announcements at the start. I do need to tell everyone that the talks here are being recorded. The camera is just here, and people need to be aware of that. Particularly when they're asking questions. And I could ask you maybe to turn off or silence mobile phones during the actual sessions, just for the sake of the speakers. Thanks. So, I'd like to thank everybody for coming this morning. This is a complex issue, and it's been going on for some time, and we're very glad to have the opportunity to discuss it and give some perspective. So, I'm coming to you as the chairman of IFSO, so I'd like to tell you what IFSO is, the Irish Free Software Organisation. This is a membership organisation which is dedicated to advocating the use of free software in Ireland and working to ensure the legal framework to write and to use free software exists in Ireland and for Irish citizens. So the history is that in June of 2003, there were several groups becoming somewhat concerned about legislation that appeared to be developing in Europe and about various other issues related to software freedom. And these various groups came together to pool their efforts to work on these things that were concerning them. And after some time, we realized that we really needed the more formal infrastructure of an organization to help us to do this work. So the Irish Free Software Organization was founded in January of 2004. It's an affiliate organization of the Free Software Foundation Europe, or FSFE. So those of you who are familiar with the free software organizations around the world will know what that involves. IFSO is an important focus of free software work in Ireland. We work closely with related organizations within the EU and worldwide. And since participation in discussions about EU legislation has been very important for us and for our work over the past few years, we have now a committee member permanently based in Brussels, who is here today to talk to you. And in fact, Kieran is going to speak in detail about that work that he does, so I'll let him feed you the facts about that and explain how we conduct our business there. What I have been asked to do is put this work that we're doing into perspective by telling you briefly what free software means. what free software is about. I know that some of you will already know this, but for some of you, this may be an interesting summary. To a lot of people, the phrase free software is actually somewhat misleading, because the word free in the phrase is nothing to do with price. Free software is not about what the software costs you monetarily. It's about the freedom that the users of the software have. And that's the focus. So some people, when they're discussing the same idea, use terms like software libre, liberty, or open source software. But that places the emphasis on some technical detail like source code, and we're concerned about freedom. We're concerned about what the users have a right to do with the software. So, what are the freedoms concerned about? So, we have, in the usual way, four freedoms that we identify as being critical for software that we think are necessary for people to have. The first freedom is the freedom to run the program for any purpose without any further permission from the author or from the distributor. So this means that once I have the program, I can use it. I don't need every 6 months to check in with some licensee to confirm that I'm still permitted to use this software. I don't need to tell them what it is that I'm going to do with it and get their permission. This is a basic freedom. Without this, the software is of no use to me whatsoever. There are software licenses which don't give me that freedom, which place not technical but legal constraints on what I'm permitted to do with the software. Some applications that say you may not use this programming tool to build a programming tool that you'll compete with, for instance. I've seen such licenses. This is very restrictive and a problem for users. The second freedom we identify is the freedom to study how the program works and to adapt it to your needs. This sounds like something that would only be useful if you're a programmer or some kind of nerd who's interested in playing around with the internals of software, but it's actually very, very important for all users. Any user who's dealing with sensitive data in the program, for instance, needs to be able to study what the program really does, not what the distributor or the author claims that it does. They need to be sure that it genuinely meets the needs that they have, perhaps from a security point of view, or just from an operational point of view as to how the data is genuinely processed, that it really is giving them the answers they want. They need to be able to adapt the software to their needs, perhaps by hiring a programmer to do it, perhaps just by modifying the configuration of the software. There are software licenses which say you must use the software precisely as we deliver it. Although it's capable of other things, you may not do that with it. If you're a programmer, this also allows you to merge in changes or add features or fix bugs and so forth. And end users and business users can always hire independent programmers to do this if they have the right to do it. So the right to study and modify the software we think is extremely important. The third freedom is the freedom to redistribute copies, to share, and to build a community by sharing the software and the modifications you made with people. This is not to say that you can't charge for the software, but it is to say that you're not required to, you're not compelled to, and that you're absolutely not compelled to get the permission of the original distributor in order to share. I think it's very obvious that this is something that's not permitted by normal software licenses, commercial software licenses, which usually say that you may not even use the software yourself on other machines you own. And finally, we identify the freedom to improve the program and to release your improvements back to the public so that the whole community will benefit from your work. If I have a program and I've studied it and I've improved it, and you see my improvements and you say, this is wonderful, this really helped me out, I'm not free with this software unless I can then turn around and say, here, take it and use it. Again, I'm not compelled to do this, but I'm free to choose whether I do it or not. So these freedoms, embodied in a license, a legal framework for every piece of software that a free software author would give you, and which contrast with the terms of what you might think of as a standard software license, are what concern us. And the reason that we became interested in the software patents issue is because we perceived that it would be difficult or impossible for us to produce software this way or to use software this way in the legal framework that we saw ahead. There's no compulsion in any of this. We're interested in free software. We want to make free software, and we want to give people free software and encourage them to use it. But we don't want to insist that everybody makes or gives away software. We just want to be able to do so ourselves. And we're concerned about legal threats, which we think would make it impossible for us to do so, no matter whether anybody else seemed to care or not. So, I've tried to give you just a very quick introduction to the philosophy that we have about software, free software, so that when our main speakers talk to you about these things, you'll understand that it's not about money for us. This is not significant. We love the idea that people make money writing software. And there are many companies which are fully built on free software. Companies which write free software, sell it, and do very well. This is about legislation that would take away our ability to do things we want to do with things we create ourselves. So I'll give you a very, very quick introduction then to our two main speakers, and I'll get off so that you can listen to what you came here to listen to. Our first speaker is Ciarán O'Riordan. He has a background in software development, but these days he works full-time with the Free Software Foundation Europe and with the Irish Free Software Organization, IFSO. He's a founder member of IFSO, and he was working on software patents legislation, reading about it, studying it, and communicating with people about it long before that. Very extensive experience with this, and certainly he's working very hard on it now. He's based permanently in Brussels these days, and has been for the past year or so, and he's been participating very actively in the debate on software patentability in Europe. I'm sure some of you will have seen his name associated with that. Our second speaker, who'll come after the coffee break, is Gareth Bowden from the UK. He has also an extensive background in software development. He's been a director of his own network security company, British Aerospace. He has very extensive experience of use of free software in the commercial sector. He's going to talk about how the patent industry would affect him there. So, I think I'll step down now, and I'll let Ciarán O'Riordan